Martin Malloy.
It's here at last, the book they tried to ban. The Truth by Martin Malloy. Mick and Tony dare to take on the forces of political correctness and reveal the truth.
Aborigines once used their own children as ironing boards.
Sometimes they'd lash 20 or 30 of them together to make a small boat for whitewater rafting.
Elderly members of the tribe would be flattened and flown like kites to amuse the kiddies.
Those kiddies who hadn't been melted down and fashioned into mag wheels for the Aborigines' secret and satanic off-road motocross spectaculars.
And as for relatives who fall ill or outlive their usefulness, well, to this day they are hollowed out and used as musical instruments on Yothu Yindi records.
Recognise this? It's one-time actor David Gulpilil, and the tune being played on him is a secret-coded message which translated into English means white fellas can't play footy.
Are you just gonna sit back and cop that, mainstream Australia?
Or are you going to fork over $39.95 for a copy of The Truth?
The Truth by Martin Malloy. Although they can't actually prove any of their outrageous claims, they've heard from several reliable sources down the pub that
Uluru is an Aboriginal word for liquor land, and Ayers Rock is in fact the world's biggest drive-through bottle shop.
Kathy Freeman and Ernie Dingo are secretly assembling a master race of 60-foot killer robots modelled on Lionel Rose and funded entirely by ATSIC and the Daleks.
And as for Mundawai Yunupingu, ever seen him and that shape-changing cyborg from Terminator 2 in the same place at the same time? Didn't think so.
Only Martin Malloy dare to tell the truth about Asian immigration.
Their eventual plan is to turn us all into lesbians through hypnosis. The Lazy Susans in Thai restaurants rotate at a speed which can mesmerise and lead to impotence.
Gun control.
Taking away a man's semi-automatic leads to genital shrinkage, transvestism and less miles to the gallon. Confiscated being destroyed, but are in fact being used to arm a secret militia of single mums, poofs and killer bees from Mexico.
Homosexuality.
All the floats in the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras are fitted with ground-to-air missiles which will be used to stage a military coup during this year's AFL Grand Final.
And Pauline Hanson.
She's a highly intelligent politician who is motivated by a deep love of this country and not by a blind and sinister lust for power.
The Truth by Martin Malloy. Out now.
I don't like it.
From the Priscilla soundtrack here at Martin Malloy. And look, we've had a lot of calls, a lot of complaints about our book, Martin Malloy, The Truth. I'm sick of having to defend the book, Mick.
I know.
Remember when we were on Kerry-Anne Kennelly?
Oh.
Remember that? Please. Remember what happened?
In terms of this book, how much research did you do?
Kerry-Anne, we did not come here to talk about our book.
Well, I'm sorry, Kerry-Anne. This is a witch hunt.
Just because our names are on that book does not mean we have to take responsibility for what's in it.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't actually realise it was such a difficult question.
Oh, there you go again, Kerry-Anne.
This is an outrageous inquisition.
All the information in here, was it thoroughly researched by you?
Oh, for God's sake, Kerry-Anne! We did proofread this book, and we removed one part, didn't we, Mick?
Yes.
Which asked the question, are the studio audience of the midday show a bunch of brain-dead cretins who'd applaud anyone as long as they were having a go at Asians or Aborigines?
Mm.
Imagine what their answer would be if we'd left that in.
I know what their answer is. You know, you've just heard it.
Oh, that's it. We've been ambushed. Let's get out of here, Tone. This is disgraceful.
Oh, turn off that tape.
I've had enough.
Gee, have they done something to our voices on that? What are Channel 9 playing it?
I don't know.
Anyway, that book is available for burning now. Get yourself a copy. What's coming up on the big program in the next hour? Joey Pistone is going to be with us. I don't know if people know Joey's work, his undercover work, his years of undercover work with the FBI.
Indeed.
It's been turned into a movie, Donnie Brasco, which is coming out, I think, this week, and it's a top view, and Joey will be here in his disguise. in the next hour. Also, Prize Dix is coming up. That was relaunched yesterday. How did it go, Mick?
Pretty much to form, I think. Yeah, a few people rang up and made dicks of themselves.
They certainly did. Mm. In graphic fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Probably too early to recount the winning story here.
Let's not go on.
Why not do as that man did?
Just come back to me then.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear.
It was kind of a short pants story that probably doesn't bear repeating.
No.
But that man is now in the running to attend the world premiere of The Lost World, of Steven Spielberg's Lost World.
And that is the truly sad thing
about our competition. And now you can, you can do as that man did in the next hour on Prize Dix. Radio Gladiators is coming up. And obviously, I know over the years we've made a lot of fun at Frankie J. Holden's expense, particularly after his work on Nude Moments.
Which I enjoyed. Yeah. I've always liked it. That's a feather in Frankie's, well, whatever he's got on at the time.
Well, I'm retracting a lot of my statements about Frankie J, because he's gone into bat, and good on him for Pete Smith. As we talked about last week, Ernie Sigley, who does a very successful radio program on an AM station in Melbourne, sacked Pete because Pete went on another program on the same station and did an obituary for Sir Eric Pearce. Wasn't good enough for Ernie. Sack him! So, anyway, Frankie J. Holden has, a week later, gone on Ernie Sigley's program to plug in Melbourne Tonight, and has made a bit of a joke about Ernie sacking Pete Smith. And as soon as Frankie J. has left the studio, Ernie's gone, sack him! So now Frankie J. has been... So the tally's up to two. Let's see if we can get everyone on that program the sack.
Welcome to the dark side, Frankie. Join us over here, bud. Plenty of room. It's going to be a march one day for everyone who's been sacked by Ernie Sigley.
What is going... There's a story about it in the Melbourne Age today. The message, don't mess with Ernie. Ernie's just getting like Al Pacino in the final scene of Scarface. He's really successful. He's just sitting at the desk going, anyone who messes with me, they're going, he say something about me, sack that bastard. Denise, she's out of here. He's power crazed. Anyway.
He hands out numbers like in a deli. He's next. Number four, you're sacked. Next.
And we're inviting Frankie J. Holden to come on our program next Monday and plug his TV show, and we promise halfway through his segment we'll sack him.
Let's do that. That sounds like fun to me.
And let's move on, shall we? Because I know you've got some important information to impart, Mick. What is
that? Yeah, I was just having a leaf through the Adelaide Advertiser tone.
Right.
And there's a great news for people living in Adelaide. They're about to get one of those giant, big bastard IMAX cinema screens.
Oh, the IMAX screens. Yes.
Yeah, they're about to get the screen that puts the audience in the middle of the action.
Yep.
And it's set to be built right in the heart of Adelaide. Now, listen to this.
Yeah.
It's the 18-metre high, 24-metre wide, slightly curved screen will fill the entire field of vision of the audience of about 300 people as they sit on steeply sloping rows of chairs.
Jeez.
That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to get one of those for my next Melrose party. Imagine that. Hello, everyone! Quick, take cover! They've gone for a close-up on Lip Lady!
Oh, God, no!
This is Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mickey, I can't believe it.
What?
Apparently Ellen DeGeneres is a lesbian.
Get out of town.
Gay is a French trombone, apparently. I never would have picked that.
Wow, who would have thought?
Can I just say on behalf of all Australians, come out of that closet now! How long's this been going on for? Year and a half?
Come out of the closet with your hands up, DeGeneres!
For a show that ain't even on here, it's getting a fair bit of coverage. Okay, she's gay, coming out on telly, good on her. Maybe her show will be less like a chick Seinfeld now.
Yeah.
But just stop going on about it. Every time you open the paper, look, it's like page three of your newspaper today.
Yeah.
There's a picture of her with her girlfriend, who is the woman who plays
the on-screen wife of our guest in the next hour, Joey Pastani in Donnie Brasco.
That's easy to follow.
That's easier than me remembering her name. Sorry, it's written Anne Hesh. Yeah. And she's meeting the two of them are meeting the president, and look at that smile on Bill Clinton's face. Mm. He's getting a mental picture of two women in bed, and he likes what he sees.
you know what he's happy about? Meeting someone who's, you know, sexual aspects of their life is probably causing more concern than his own.
Exactly.
At last.
There's two women who ain't going to sue me.
And behind him, I mean, it's the big photo in the paper, but I think all eyes are going to George Clooney with a half-baked moustache happening. What's going on there?
His head's just poking over Clinton's shoulder. It's like his conscience. Go on, do it. Put it on him, Bill. Put it on him. They're up for it. Come on, you know you want to do it. Come on, Bill.
But anyway, because Ellen is coming out of the closet, we're saying let's do the same thing, Australia. Mm. Let's get our listeners out of the closet. Oh, let's get them fessing up to anything. Mm. Not necessarily sexual proclivities. We just want to hear about whatever you want to get off your chest. Mm. Okay? It's your chance before a national audience to basically come out of the closet and confess to anything. Can I start off?
Please.
Just open the closet if you could, Gracie. Mickey. I'd like you to know that I laughed like a drain through Tommy Boy. I got it out on video, I pissed myself laughing, I went back to the shop and I got out the second one that everybody hated, Black Sheep, and I laughed through that. And then I went back a few weeks later and my wife actually chose this one. We got out that aggro golfing movie. What's that one called?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. We pissed ourselves through that as well.
Good on you.
We went back, we saw the Paulie Shore films, but that's where we drew the line. Okay, I'd like to confess, I've got it out of my system, and well, I don't feel any embarrassment at all.
You've done well. Okay. Can I get something out of my system?
Come out of the closet, Mickey boy!
Here I come, ready or not. Tone, everyone has their favourite bit of music. That little bit of, that little hook, or that rummages round, rattles round the head all day. He turns them on, trips their trigger, pushes all the right buttons. Yeah. Well, mine is this. Oh, another theme from the Bill!
I'm sorry! Oh. I'm sorry, but I love it! Tone, when I go for a lap dance, I just slip a 50 down the front, give a wink to the guy on the console, and he just pumps out a bit of this. If I was a boxer, T-Mart, a professional boxer, as I came into the ring, they'd be playing this. If I won a gold medal for Australia and stood on the podium, bone that anthem!
Here comes
with a bit of this!
All right, Josh, bookie! You're next, sunshine! Wow, that's fantastic. You're on the public record. Can I come out of the closet about something?
Go on.
Okay. Often, I like to drive into the central city area, just double park, leave the hazard lights on when there's nothing wrong with the car, go in, do some shopping, come out, get a bus home and leave the car there for 24 hours with the hazard lights on because I just love abusing the hazard lights on the vehicle.
Oh, no!
And I've gone on the public record. And sometimes I go to Pizza Hut and I go over to the salad bar and I stick the spoon in the Thousand Island dressing and then I let it run all the way over the potato salad.
Oh, no!
I infect the potato salad with the Thousand Island. I go back to my chair. I don't tell nobody and I just don't bloody care.
I don't believe it. Can I come out of your closet?
Come on,
I have that mine. Here
is a new one.
Tone, I have to tell you, I fantasize daily about the women from the Ponds Institute. I'm sorry!
Oh, no!
I just find them incredibly attractive!
That's disgraceful!
They should have a big red light out in front of that institute! Should be some kind of high-class hooker stroke scientist arrangement!
All right.
Oh, I love it!
And I came out of the closet on yesterday's show and confessed that I'm teaching my cat to dance. Mm. Got home yesterday, a delegation of neighbours at the door, and they wanted to see it. And I couldn't get the I went and put on a cat suit that I had next door and I danced the Macarena for 25 minutes. I think I got away with it.
Wow. Good stuff.
All right, it's your chance to do as we have done and get something off your chest, and we do have a prize. Don't we? Oh, no!
That's prize music, T. Martin.
That is not the
prize. Doesn't matter what it is, it's going to sound good now. I'll have two!
Well, in fact, we got the real prize. Oh, Gracie, I asked for the theme from Ellen, not the theme from Dave Allen. Suppose that'll have to do. What about this? The team at Sanyo are on board. They don't mind coming out of the closet style controversy. They're still linked to Radio Gladiators. We've got the Super Shower Wave Microwave Oven. It's the one that cooks more evenly, thoroughly and fairly than all the other microwaves. Plus, we'll throw in a Tabura
That's the Sanyo totally hands-free cordless phone that has got the handless people of Australia jumping for joy. Call us now and come out of our big fat closet. 1-800-657-657.
Camp, I saw you first here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators, and today it's your chance to come out of the closet, Ellen DeGeneres style, before a national listening audience and fess up to something. Mm. Anything you want. Who's going first, Mickey?
Kylie's going to kick us off today. How are you, Kyle?
I'm good, Mick and Tony. How are you?
Not bad. Have you got something you want to fess up to?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't believe I got through. I try every afternoon.
Well, that's impressive in itself. But what we're going to do is we're going to open the closet door. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Out you come, Kylie.
All right. I watch Sale of the Century every night, but yep. I've got the game and the buzzers, and I practice. I buzz and I go. I get in with the first with the answers.
Oh.
And what's more, my husband prompts me. So if I buzz first, he yells out, Kylie.
Oh, right.
And then I've got to answer.
And does he put on a tuxedo and act like an adjudicator like Pete Smith?
Sometimes.
Oh, you know, I do the same thing, Tone, when I'm watching Red Faces on Hey Hey. I've got a huge guy. You've gone too far with this confession.
All right, that's quite enough. Thanks, Kylie DeGeneres. Next up, it's Lee. Are you there, Lee?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Not too bad, Lee, but we're opening the door. Out you come.
Well, I just want to confess to my mum that, you know, a little toy car that I found in a car park when I was about six as we were leaving the shopping centre. Well, I didn't actually find it. I actually stole it from the little shopping centre, and I put it out there.
Oh, you put it out? Oh, what an elaborate scam.
So your mum was an accomplice.
I planted the goods so well that she had no idea. She said, wow, good on you. Sharp eyes.
Yeah, and your mum's probably home now going, so what? The car we drove home in, I just picked from the car park at random.
Oh, no, she's not going, so what? She's probably thinking, how's he getting that phone into the prison?
She's saying he better win that microwave oven or there'll be trouble, I'm guessing. All right, Lee, it ain't over yet, I'm afraid, because Shannon is with us. You there, Shannon?
I am, Tone. How are you?
Not too bad. Are you ready to step out? We're opening the door. Fess up!
This is hard for me, but I bought myself a copy of the soundtrack of Xanadu.
Oh, no! Okay, now we need information. Recently or when it came out?
More recently.
Oh,
in the last year.
Time to think about it.
Is it on CD yet?
Yeah, it's on CD.
Is it really? Mm.
Yeah, special re-release or something like that.
And tell me, Shannon, when you play it, do you, like Kylie at home, slip into the roller skates and go for a trundle around your lounge room?
Well, it's more fun using it as soundtracks for home videos.
Very nice. And do you want to give us a couple of bars of the title track now, Shannon?
What, do you actually want me to sing?
Go on, give it a bash.
Oh. Xanadu, Xanadu.
Now that you're here. Oh, no, we haven't heard it. Wow, fantastic.
I think we better move on. Let the dust settle.
He's living with musical mosquitoes as well. Thanks, Shannon. I think Steve is next. You there, Steve?
G'day, how you going, fellas?
Not too bad, but the question is, how are you going as you come out of the closet?
Okay, it's finally time, I have to confess. I've always had a yearning and a desire to be trained and disciplined by Barbara Woodhouse.
The dog trainer.
Well, that's the famous dog trainer. And look, let me tell you, when she says sit and beg and roll over, it does something for me. But when she says walkies, well, let me tell you what.
Ah, Steve,
drives me crazy.
I've often pictured myself on all fours being smacked over the nose with a rolled up newspaper, Barbara Woodhouse, and it don't get any better than that.
And the choker chain.
Have you ever thought of maybe buying a dog suit and popping around to her place to see if she's biting?
Well, that's a thought, isn't it?
He's right.
Next time she drives past, chase a car up the road, biting at her wheels. It turns her on, apparently.
Yeah, you'll often see her out of an evening cruising. All right, thanks, Steve. I think Jeff. Jeff is with us. Are you there, Jeff?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
Not bad. You're sounding a bit nervous, but you still want to come out of the closet, don't you?
I do, but I just hope my wife's not listening.
All right. The door is open. Reveal all.
Well, I work a lot in my garage, and in the back I have this piece of plywood up against the wall which hides something.
Well, what's and that?
It's a whole stack of Boy George posters. I hope she's not listening.
Oh, dear.
We went to the concert, and she had to drag me along, but She made me dress up as Boy George when they were in Culture Club, but I really enjoyed it, and she didn't really know.
He was out here just recently. You and your wife didn't think of inviting him round for a bit of a sandwich?
We didn't actually catch up with him because he didn't really have any concerts.
Oh, okay. Are you named in his book?
No, I'm not. I've never actually met him, but I'd really like to.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Shut that closet door. Quickly. It's gone too far.
I think we've got time for one more opening, and who's it going to be?
Well, let's try Joan. Are you there, Joan?
I'm here. How are you, Mick and Tone?
Not bad, but how are you? Let's open that closet. Out you come, Joan.
Well, ever since last year when you did a whole segment on mixed breasts, I just find myself fantasizing about them all the time, you know, getting warm and fuzzy every time I think about it.
Is that right? Did we do a whole segment on mixed breasts?
Did we?
It must have been a slow news week.
And what was it particularly about them that excited you, Joan?
I think just the size.
That National Geographic look. Is that what's really doing it for you?
Yeah.
And Joan, I can confirm for you now, they're real. Well, that's quite a collection of confessees or confessors, Mickey. Which one are you going for? Kylie with Sale of the Century, Home Version, Lee with a Toy Car, Scam Shannon, He's Addicted to Xanadu, Steve, Barbara Woodhouse, Jeff with the Boy George Shrine in the Garage, and Joan with Your Norgs.
Tone, I think just for shock value and sitting us on our pants, it's going to Jeff, who's...
Yes.
Infinity dressed up as Boy George, and he liked it.
That's right. I suppose that was the most shocking revelation. You there, Jeff?
I'm here, fellas.
Okay.
Well, I've got to tell my wife now.
Well, maybe you can soften the blow with news of that Sanyo Super Shower Wave Microwave Oven and that Sanyo Tabura hands-free cordless phone.
Thank you very much.
All right. Don't mention us in the lawsuit if it occurs. And thanks to everyone who came out of the closet today. We'll be back in the next hour with, a man with a considerable price on his head. It's Joey Pistone.
This is Martin Malloy.
They're doing nothing for us. They're screwing the country.
You could do a better job?
My oath I do.
And in this hour, we're off to the Martin Malloy Reincarnation Centre. We'll have another round of prize decks. It's your chance to be at the world premiere of Steven Spielberg's Lost World. And next up, the real-life bloke who Johnny Depp plays in Donnie Brasco joins us, all thanks to the, as always, beautifully manicured team at Coca-Cola. That's the way a woman feels, Mickey, here at Martin Malloy. Mm. But no time for that because our guest is ready to go. He's an ex-FBI agent who in the late 70s and early 80s spent several years working undercover with the mafia. Have we had this as a job description before on this segment?
I don't think so.
Did Paul Hester do that, do you know?
Once.
His eventual testimony resulted in more than 200 indictments of top organised crime figures, and his story is told in a new movie called Donnie Brasco. He's in the witness protection scheme. There's a massive mob contract out on his life. He's Joey Pistone. Joe, thanks for dropping by today.
My pleasure.
Now, look, you can take the disguise off. It's just me and Mick and Gracie. Take off the moustache, take off the hat.
How about the wig, Joe? Leave that on.
Okay, you leave that on. Now, this is unusual for us because normally a film comes out and we get one of those pussy movie stars through. This is like interviewing the real Serpico.
Yeah, well, I'm the man, Donnie Brasco, that the movie's about. That's correct.
And how does it feel being suddenly involved in show business and doing this kind of media circuit?
I don't mind doing a media circuit, being involved in show business. Sometimes I think I'd rather be dealing with the mafia than dealing with the show
really?
People.
And what about, what are your feelings on Johnny Depp playing you in this film?
I'm really happy with Johnny Depp's portrayal of me. Mm. The one thing that I made it be known that whoever was the actor that portrayed me had to have a lot of hair.
And who does the better Donnie Brasco? Yourself or Johnny Depp?
I think I do.
You think
but,
you do?
But he's about 99% there.
Did you give him any acting tips? Because obviously you must be a hell of an actor yourself.
I just told him, I said, Johnny, just be yourself and act on instinct.
How long were you Donnie Brasco for?
In this operation, 6 years.
Are you well organized with this, or are there times when you're just backpedaling on the spot? No. I was there last Saturday night, but only quickly. Are you doing much of that on the spot, or are you prepared in advance?
Well, there are a lot of times you can't prepare in advance because you don't know what's going to happen on a daily basis. And a lot of your conversation, a lot of your actions are reacting off the gangsters that you're with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot of backpedaling, you know, because you may be in a conversation with one person and tell that person something, and then actually it's not the truth, and then you get caught in that lie with somebody else. So what I found basically is stick as close to the truth as possible. But you do have to BS your way out of a lot of deals.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And what was the closest you came to getting the whole thing?
There were several close calls. The most hairy was early on in the operation. I had gotten crossways with two gangsters, and this one particular day, they weren't too hep on me, so they wanted to check me out further. Mm-hmm. So we got into the club that day, and we went in the back room. They locked the door. They put their guns on the table and said, until you really convince us you're Donnie Brasco, jewel thief, burglar, you're not leaving here. And if you don't convince us, you're going out wrapped up in that rug.
Ow.
So that was about a 5 or 6 hour ordeal. Sure. And you talk about backpedaling.
you were river dancing.
And sidestepping and doing the chicken.
And what was your ace card? What was the thing that finally convinced them?
I gave them a phone number to call, and one of them went out and called the number and came back and said, okay, you know. But then what happens is you got to go another step further, because now you have to maintain your credibility, because the worst thing in the mob is being called a rat.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I could do was to maintain my credibility and to keep the respect was sucker punch a guy. So that's what I did. I sucker punched one of them, and we had a little tussle. And
would you care to demonstrate on Mickey? Yeah, exactly how that works.
And then we'll get round to whacking tone.
All right. This is blokes outside the glass who are just reaching for the top pocket at the moment. Joe, there's a scene in the film where there's a lion. Did that really happen? Was somebody given a lion as a present and you had to feed him burgers through the window of the car?
That's true. We did have a lion in the club in Brooklyn that somebody had given to Lefty, and we kept it in the club and in the hamburgers and steaks, and then it got too big. I mean, then it became a real lion.
And of course, there's a scene later in the film where we see the lion down in Miami, and I'm going, how does the mafia move a lion interstate? Is it in first class? How was there a standard technique for that?
No, we did that was a little Hollywood license. We never took the lion to Miami, but we did have it in Brooklyn. And I mean, it's worse than having a lion in Brooklyn than in Miami.
Okay. Joe, can you stick around for another break?
Sure can.
Okay, you change disguises and we'll be back in a moment. Cardigans with Love Fallen. And Gracie, what happened to Bon Jovi there?
I couldn't keep the faith, I don't think.
The mafia got involved, did they?
Yeah.
They got whacked. That CD's taking the dud bath. Anyway, this is
Martin Malloy.
And Joe Pistone is with us. He is the real-life person who Johnny Depp's character in Donnie Brasco is based on. And, Joe, what this film, I think, gets us thinking about is in movies, gangsters kind of have to be made likable for the audience to put up with them for a whole movie. Is this kind of thing we see in The Godfather and films like this code of honor, is that all just movie nonsense, or does it really exist?
A lot of it is movie nonsense. There is a code. They have certain rules, but they break them all. Hmm. And there is really no honor amongst thieves. What it is it's honorable if you're on top and you're gaining either monetary value from it or you're gaining power. But if they can screw each other, they most certainly will.
And I understand that as a result of your undercover work and the convictions that resulted, the mafia have changed the rules of membership. Is that true?
Well, what they've done was, prior to my going under and penetrating to this extent, one individual was all that had to vouch for you. In other words, one mafia member is all I had to say, yeah, I know, you know, I've known Donnie X amount of years or whatever, and now it's they've said that the two members have to vouch for somebody, because they figured, you know, a second guy isn't going to put his neck on a line to get killed, because what happens is that as in my operation after it surfaced, and I found out that I was really an undercover agent. Several individuals in that I was close to got killed by the mafia for their association with me.
Oh, geez, so you can't just get in with a note from Mum anymore.
It's harder than joining a video library these days.
Yeah, I have to get five blokes to vouch for me to get into Blockbuster. You can't just take the gas bill down there anymore. And what about the terminology? Give us this phrase that keeps being used in the film. Forget about it.
Well, forget about it. I mean, I'm on a great radio show here. Forget about it. And that, you know, that means it's a great radio show.
What if you hated the show?
Forget about it.
Uh-oh. Look out.
You even get a syllable wrong there, you're in trouble.
But that's an actual term. I mean, that's a saying that, you know, is used in probably every sentence, you know, with mafia guys.
And do you ever, I know in your book you talk about, I mean, it's a serious business, but, of course, you occasionally slip back into character to get a table at a restaurant. Is that true, Joe?
Yeah, sure, because, you know, sometimes you go to a crowded restaurant and, you know, I don't like to wait in line, so you go up to the maitre d' and you lay it on them, and you only wait a couple minutes.
Okay.
You can just tell them who you really are. I think, Joe, I'd be out of the restaurant pretty smartly, because there's still a fair bit of money on your head. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of money contract out, $500,000 out of New York City.
Mm. I'd just like to point out that this interview was recorded last week
in Brazil. One of the things that comes up in the film is how this affects your home life. You know, when someone's husband goes missing for, well, I mean, 6 years overall, but it must have been hard when you're rocking in 3 or 4 months without having seen the wife. It can't just be, honey, I'm home.
Well, the wife, for security reasons, only knows that you're working undercover. She didn't have any idea what the case was about, to what extent. And you're right, you don't walk in and say, honey, I'm home, because a lot of times nobody's home anyway, right? Because you've been gone for 4 or 5 months, so yeah, they're not waiting around, you know, for you to come home. And then when you do come home, it's where the hell were you? It's not a peck on the cheek, no. And let's hit the sheets. You know?
Because I saw the film yesterday morning and thought I'd give it a try last night, and it wasn't washing. Maybe you looked, I've got the mafia on my back.
You know what Mick's girlfriend said? Forget about it. That's what she came out with.
Just digressing for a minute, we're talking FBI just quickly. Can you tell me what you make of David Duchovny on The X-Files?
Well,
would you rate him as an FBI agent? Is he, are you going, yeah, good man, you're doing the right thing, or you just can't check out the bozo?
I think he's a lot of Hollywood. I mean, he's a great actor, but I was in the FBI 26 years, and I never had to work a case like that.
You never run into that stretchy liver-eating bloke?
No.
Getting into houses through vents?
No, and plus, I have to give him a lot of credit because he got himself a hell of a partner.
I see. Well, Joe, we'd like to thank you for coming in today. It feels bizarre. I hope we haven't trivialized your life too much.
No, it was great. I really enjoyed it. I loved it.
And I'd like to say, we usually say see you again, but I get the feeling we probably won't. Thanks, Joe.
My pleasure.
That's Jewel. You were meant for me. Forget about it. Forget about it. Joey Pistone has left the country late last week, and Donnie Brasco opens, I think...
Is it this Thursday? Might end up taking the dud bat.
Donnie Brasco, Thursday at the cinemas. And it's a fine bit of work, too, especially from Al Pacino, who's, ever since they gave him that Oscar, he's been broadening. Have you noticed him? Wahoo! Wahoo! There's none of that in this film. He's cranked in the acting and doing a top job.
In a great tracksuit. Check out the tracksuit.
Remember, it's 1978. So, you know, it's a great scene. Al Pacino sitting at home in a kind of Lurex-y kind of armchair with the biggest remote you'll ever see, working a Betamax video.
Yeah. Sitting there in his bright red tracksuit. It's my favourite bit of tracksuit work in a film since Carlito's Way.
Oh, yes.
Sean Penn. I'm sure that's where he got the idea for Gino. He's looked at Sean Penn and said, one day I'm going to be bagging one of those. I'm going to be getting about in one of those. It's a beauty.
You know, Joe Pistone has to wear one of those every day of his life now.
Yeah, I know.
And he doesn't like it. What's it time for?
It's
it's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've accidentally showed up to an office party in fancy dress. Perhaps you've attempted all 27 verses of MacArthur Park at a karaoke night. Or maybe you're just Wigfield. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. The Lost World is the new movie from Steven Spielberg and the sequel to the most successful film of all time, Jurassic Park. Every prize dick takes home a Lost World prize pack and goes into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong to attend the world premiere of The Lost World. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
We'll do that, Pete. And it's a real pity we couldn't get Joey to stick around for this. I'm sure he would have made a dick of himself on a few occasions.
Sure he would. On many an occasion. You know, something to laugh about.
You know, we love to float bizarre film facts on this program from time to time. Here's one for you. He's very lucky that the film was called Donnie Brasco, else Johnny Depp wouldn't have starred in it. Have you noticed that? Johnny Depp will only appear in films where his character is the title of the film. You got your Crybaby, you got your Edward Scissorhands, you got your Gilbert Grape, you got your Ed Wood, you got your Don Juan DeMarco. Dead man, he was the dead man. What else was there?
21 Jump Street.
Yeah, that was him.
See?
He was Mr. Jump Street.
That was his original name. Changed it for showbiz.
What about Nick of Time? He was Nick.
Nick.
Nick in Nick of Time. Benny and June, was that him? He would have been Benny, sure. I don't think he was, but you think that he was.
Yeah, that'll do.
Donnie Brasco. And I'm reading now he's starring in a film called The Brave. And I thought, oh, he's broken his own rule. And it says Johnny Depp will play the title role. He's the brave bloke in The Brave.
Good on him.
So if you want Johnny Depp in your film, call it his character. I don't know what that means, but we like to
float the bizarre.
Here's one for you.
Yep.
Donnie Brasco has been so successful, you know what they're doing?
What?
Lenny Pasco. No, it's about this FBI guy who goes undercover in the Australian cricket team.
Wow.
For several years.
Oh, dear. Forget about it.
Forget about it, Booney. And, well, that's probably enough with that football, because I'm just thinking, it's the Lost World that we're talking about on this segment.
Oh, I think Donnie Brasco's in that.
Yeah.
He's whacking dinosaurs.
That's right.
Hey, forget about it, Tyrannosaurus Rex.
6 years undercover is a stegosaurus. I don't recommend it.
But anyway, I haven't seen this film, The Lost World. I don't think anyone's seen it. Obviously, the world premiere is happening in Hong Kong, and if you come out of the draw in a few weeks' time, you're going. And we did see the trailer, and it's a dino action. Have I mentioned enough that it's dino action?
It's dino-mania.
It's Jeff Goldblum. He's back. Sam Neill, no sign of Sam Neill. Hopefully eaten early on, pre-titles. But anyway, call us up and dive into our Lost World simply by telling us how you made a prize dick of yourself in any situation at all. It's got to be true. 1-800-657-657.
Yes, indeed.
In a minute. It's time, so I'm turning it about. Yes, indeed.
Go. There goes one.
It's stories involving Ernie Sigley. Okay, so he's a grumpy old bastard. Let's just leave it at that. There's no need to go down the Richard Gere track with him. All right, let's see who's made a dick of themselves today. Who's on the line, Mickey?
Let's try Stuart. Are you there, bud?
Yeah, hello.
How are you?
Happy there.
All right, fill us in, Stuart. How have you made a bit of a prize dick of yourself?
Well, I live just near a 24-hour petrol station, so I'm sort of there quite often. I'm only 100 metres down the road, so I'm walking there, walking back. One day I realised I need some petrol as well, so I drove there, filled up with petrol, went in, bought a loaf of bread and like milk or something, and then just, as I usually do, walked home. So I'm sitting there about half an hour later and I got a phone call from the police saying, is there something wrong with your car? I said, no, and I didn't know what. And then he said, oh, well, you've left it at the petrol station.
Oh, dear. Still
really embarrassed when I got back there.
And was it ticking over?
No. I already paid for the petrol, thankfully.
Fantastic. So did you, what did you do then?
Well, I went in, like, reasonably embarrassed.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, I know them there anyway, but they had a good laugh.
Did you get a round of applause, bit of a Mexican wave from the other motorists?
It actually made it into the local paper. They've got one of those columns, you know, stupid things people do.
All right. Where are you calling us from?
Wollongong.
Oh, Wollongong!
Oh,
made
yeah.
it into the papers! Man leaves car at servo!
It was the talk of Wollongong for months.
Very embarrassing.
Well, you've made a dick of yourself, Stuart, and thanks for telling us about it. But now we've got Melanie, who may have a similar story. Are you there, Mel?
Yep.
What have you done? What have you done?
Well, it wasn't me, but it was my brother, and we went to Italy a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they have electric toilets over there, and you have to go in and press a button to open the door.
Yes.
And you go in and you press the button, and he went in this time, and he pressed the button, but he didn't press it properly, and he went in, and it washes automatically after everyone flushes the toilet. The whole thing shuts down and disinfects the whole place.
Yes, it's quite elaborate. It's like the TARDIS or something going on in there.
And so he pressed the wrong button, and while he was going to the toilet, he was doing a bit of a poo, and
oh, really?
And the door opened, and it went haywire and it washed on him while he was on the toilet in front of everyone who was lining up.
Like one of those car washers. It's got the big thump and rollers going over his head. Came out all shiny.
So one minute he's performing a straightforward ablution, the next moment he's turning on some street theatre for passers-by. Fantastic. All right, thanks, Mel. And the story of her brother doing a poo. Have we got Michael on the line? You there, Michael?
Yeah, how you going, fellas?
Not bad. Good. Have you made a dick of yourself?
Well, actually, not me. This is the ex-wife.
All right.
Yeah, she did it quite often, actually.
Yeah, I bet she... Okay, we don't have time for all the ex-wife stories. Just give us one one.
We're in Adelaide, and Adelaide had the airport where you got to get in, the poor people get in on the back end of the plane and the rich people get in the front.
Yes.
And when we got on the plane, we're halfway into the trip, and she said, look, I've got to go to the toilet. And I said, okay. So she toddles off, and then she comes back and said, I can't get the door open.
Right.
I said, well, push harder, you know. Something must be right. So anyway, I look up, and there's this air hostess sort of bending over and being polite to the people in front of me. Then she turns and looks down behind me, and her face just sort of went of terror. Mm. And I turn around, and there's this little blonde ex-wife tugging on the end of the door at the back, trying to go to the toilet out the back of the plane.
Oh, trying to open the door. Forget about it.
Forget about that.
Well, there's some suction in this toilet. I think that's a full flush.
And did she then, go in the cockpit? I mean, how long did this go for?
No, she sort of got reminded by the air hostie where the toilet was. But as we got off the plane, the pilot and the co-pilot came out because they wanted to have a look at this woman who tried to open up the door.
Yeah, make sure you pack a parachute when you go to that toilet. All right, thanks, Michael. Let's see if we've got a non-toilet-related story from our final contestant. Who is it?
It's Jan. Hello, Jan. How are you?
Hi, fellas. I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Very good indeed. Fill us in. What you been doing?
Well, I took my two little girls to the doctor one day just a couple of weeks ago, and we were sitting in the waiting room waiting, and there's some stairs leading to outside where you can sort of sit outside, and there was this guy sitting out there waiting, and with this bleached blonde hair that looked like it hadn't been washed or brushed for a month, and like a 5-day growth, and these daggy clothes, and he just looked a real sight. And the girls were out there sort of playing, and he started talking to them, and I got a bit, I don't like this, so I sort of raced out and grabbed them and turned around and gave him the evil eye, and it was Paul Mercurio.
You did the right thing. Get him out of there quick as you can.
Oh, don't let him near Paul Mercurio. You'll have them doing part A durst till the early hours. Oh, dear. And how did he react?
Oh, he just sort of smiled at me, and I sort of smiled back when I realised who it was.
Yeah.
And I left the girls there then.
All right. Well, that's quite a story. But is it our winner, Mick? Because we've got Stuart up the front walking home from the servo. We've got Melanie Toy Toys story one, Michael Toy Toys number two, and Jan with the Mercurio encounter.
It's all pretty good time, but we're going back up the top to Stuart.
Yes.
Left his car at a petrol station and walked home.
Again, there's a simplicity and a purity to Stuart's concept. Are you there, Stuart?
Yeah.
You've got the Lost World Pack. Seems somewhat appropriate for you. And you've gone into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong, where you will, if you come out of the barrel, be attending the Lost World premiere. And hopefully, as I said to the contestant yesterday, have a word to Steven Spielberg and tell him what you did. There could be a film in it.
Well, hopefully I won't walk home from there and leave the plane there.
Exactly. Ticking over. All right. Thanks for taking part. Hello to everyone in Wollongong. And thanks to everyone who made a prize dick of themselves today. And you have another opportunity, this time tomorrow, on Martin Malloy. The artist. Here at Martin Malloy, Little Red Corvette, almost time for us to go.
It's changed again, Tone.
What's happened?
Not the artist anymore.
What's is he now?
It's just Artie.
Is it?
On you, Artie.
Good one, Artie. All right, a lot of interest in my idea for Johnny Depp as Lenny Pascoe. We're going to develop that and workshop it on the show over the weeks. Now, it's Tuesday night. That means it's Beavis and Butthead night, 11:30 on Channel 10. We're still getting a fair bit of amusement out of it. You know, forget the TV show. We've got the doll.
Fuck. Yeah, take it.
All right. Beavis and Butthead, the show which no television critic in the country can bring themselves to lower to actually mention. Or if they did, it'd be Deconstructs Modern Youth. You know, the sort of, you can just see the kind of reviews that they come out with.
They need an angle, but it's good viewing. When's it on?
It's on tonight.
Tonight, 11:30 in the movie. Don't forget the movie.
That's still on. That's right. It's not a think piece.
It's a good afternoon at the cinema, though. It's you've got to admit, T. Martin.
All right.
There it is.
Now, speaking of entertainment, Paul Hester wound up his shed nights in Melbourne at the Esplanade Hotel last night in fine style. Gracie was there. What happened?
Top night in the shed. We had the band playing, followed by Magda Jabanski in some very big hair, doing a couple of lounge-type ballads, The Look of Love, and another one. That was followed by a short break. Out came Peter Rosethorn.
Good on him.
Followed by a special guest, Rob Hurst from Midnight Oil.
From the Oils. Yeah. Mm.
Two drum kits set up on stage. They both played together. It swapped over without losing a beat.
Oh, a bit of dueling drum work. Yeah, very nice.
And then the two drummers picked up guitars and played a song each on guitars. And that was great. Followed by three songs from Renee Geyer and then a big wind-up at the end.
This is all in the one night
all
in the shed.
All in the one night.
The shed's gone off.
Intro of the night would have been Hester's "Just to Show You Where My Head's At, Here's a Song About Me Written from the Point of View of My Dog."
Fantastic. And Largest Living Things, how do you rate them? Are they going to kick on?
A great band. And evidently one of the guitar players toured the world with Sting at some stage.
Oh, okay.
Quite a pedigree.
Yeah, as you can tell by the big plate in his bottom lip. And I understand, are they coming back? The Shed Knights are going to be back?
Could be another season during June.
Right. Yeah. So he had all those big names. Did he do what he said he was going to? I told Paul he should get the meat handling delivery man up on stage.
He's trying for it, I think.
Just, you know, reaching for chops. Just feeling up a rump steak.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Just snatching at a sausage.
I am Gordon Ollio.
I think it's time to go.
All right. Good on you. We're getting Paul back in on the show next week, I think, and see what else he's been up to. And we really must thank our guests, Joey Pistone, of course, all our gladiators who were exceptional today coming out of the closet, all our prize dicks, and we will be back tomorrow. Thanks to Coca-Cola, Sue and Post, comedian and amateur wrestler, will be joining us to explain her recent actions on the show tomorrow. And just before we go,
hey, mourners, want to hook up with some loved ones who've carked it? Then get on down to the Martin Molloy Reincarnation Centre, where we've rounded up as many wildlife creatures as we can and are passing them off as people's dead relatives.
Next, Peter Simpson.
Hang on a sec, Peter Simpson. Ah, yes, here we are. Died in a freak river dancing accident. What were you hoping he'd come back as again?
An antelope or a gazelle?
Close, but no cigar.
Next!
Hello, I'm here to pick up my husband, Fred Wilson.
Fred. Oh, hang on a sec. Tone, have you seen Fred Wilson?
Yeah, he's over in the corner taking a dump.
Oh, Jesus! Bad Fred! Bad Fred! We've got hundreds of dead relos just waiting to go. Maybe he's a reptile. Maybe she's a primate. Maybe that special someone in your life is now cruising around with a swarm of bees or clinging to the underside of our toilet seat. Whatever. Just get on down to the Martin Molloy Reincarnation Centre for that touching reunion you've been waiting for.
Hello, my father died. I'd like him back as a hedgehog, please.
Ooh, hedgehog. Jeez, big job. Sure you wouldn't prefer a hamster? Could get you one of those by, when do you reckon, Tone?
Thursday.
Thursday. How long is the wait on the hedgehog?
Can't say for sure. We've got a rock wallaby out the back.
No, thank you.
How about a bat?
No.
There's this snake.
No.
What about the lump in the snake's throat?
No. What about a gerbil?
Yep, we got one of those. Tone, bring out the gerbil.
Hang on, Mick. Just another 5 minutes.
Oh, jeez, that tickles.
Now open on weekends, the Martin Molloy Reincarnation Centre is your one-stop dead relo shop.
Hey, Tone. man, what's going on?
Mrs. Watson's twin sister just ran up her leg.
Oh, where's old Mr. Henderson?
Oh, someone left the window open. I think he's down the park pooping on statues.
And what about young Miss Walker's Uncle Reg?
I haven't seen him since Tuesday, although I notice he's been shedding his skin on the sofa again.
Damn! So if you've lost someone close to you, pop on down to the Martin Malloy Reincarnation Centre. And remember, dead relatives are for life, not just for Christmas.
I'm here to pick up my dad. Where is he?
He's rooting my leg.
And what about me mum?
You'll need a bug catcher.